like the gift.
Welcome to episode 76 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, October 11th, 2015. This is Aaron. In this episode, we talk about Patrick Waugh, doctors, hat tricks, and goons. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
How was your week?
Weeks.
It's been a few weeks.
I was driving a PT no cruise controller.
You were PT cruising?
PT no cruise controller.
How many vehicles do they make nowadays without cruise control?
I'm pretty sure they all come with it.
No, not a PT cruiser. It's a PT no cruise controller. So
your right foot is like all like ripped right now?
900 miles worth of pumping that pedal.
Dude, your right calf, man, it's like bulging.
It's starting to match my right forearm.
That's what she said.
Oh, man. So great weather around here, though, this weekend.
Wow, no, man. No doubt about that.
Wouldn't be thinking about putting out a sheet of ice in the backyard this weekend.
Yeah, 80 degrees, I think it's going to melt instantly.
Yeah.
Well, it'll never set up. Well, maybe you had, you know, brought in the NHL refrigerated ice contraption,
right.
You know?
They can put it out in the 90-degree sun of the hot L.A., what is that? I don't know.
The
drought?
Dry.
Yeah. Well, that's right. They can't use the water to make the ice.
Well, it's the NHL. They might ship it in from somewhere.
True. Well, water's a lot to ship. It's heavy.
So, actually, that is a good point. Why is there hockey in L.A. or Southern California? They don't have water. Not only do they not have cold, they don't even have water.
This
is a good question. I think...
it was one thing when we had a point where, like, you don't even have cold. Why can you have ice? Now it's like, you don't even have water.
But they got the Lakers.
Point taken. Well, you know, before we get too far into things here, I'd just like to remind you, you can follow us on Twitter. We are at three in the box. You know, if we're around and we're watching a game, we're tweeting it and being silly and calling out Waffer.
It was nice to interact with a bunch of you people again.
Oh, no doubt. I mean,
we missed you guys.
No, it's surreal. It's like, we forget how much we talk with these people during the season and during the Wild games and just ripping on the broadcast of NBC.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Maybe. But
why are you talking to our fans that way?
I think he was calling me a loser.
Wow. Yes.
But anyway, since we're already verging onto that topic, let's just talk about it. Let's talk about the Wild.
The Wild.
Wah, wah, wah. Wah.
Wow, that was actually...
Wah.
Wah, 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 wah.
Wah, 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 wah. Wah, wah. Yeah, wah.
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 No. Wah's
Roy.
Roy.
Right.
He's got to just hate Minnesota.
Probably.
You know.
Well, it's mutual because we hate him.
This is very true. So, again, the Wild took care of the Avs in the season opener. This was Thursday night, which was actually a really good game.
It didn't start out very good.
No, it looked a little sketchy from the start, but You know, the Wild managed to come back from being down 3-0 after one. They rallied hard in the third, getting 4 goals in just over 5 minutes, which was really impressive. It is the fastest 4 goals in Wild history. Was it like 507, I think, or 504?
507.
Man, that's just crazy. And they won 5-4. It's the first time Wild has rallied from 3 goals down the win on the road since March 5th, 2009. 2009. I'm a little sleep deprived. At San Jose, when they were down 3-0 in the second with a 4-3 OT win. So yeah, there's some weird stuff that happened this game.
It was a crazy game, actually.
So
aside from the comeback.
Aside from the comeback.
Which was historic for the Wild, right?
You know, Vanek got a goal,
which is crazy in itself.
Exactly.
We get what? 12 minutes of a game and then it's over?
I think during the game last night, I think the
he got an assist in that game
too. The FSN guys said that it took him Vanek until game 22 to score his second goal.
Oh, great!
And I think his first goal was actually several games in beyond that. So he's already doing way better than he was last year. I still think he should have had the goal last night, but we'll get to that.
Which would have been 300.
Which would have been 300.
So with Thursday night's game, the season opener, number 11, Mr. Zach Parise, ends up being the 11th Wild player to get a hat trick.
The star of the game easily.
And star of the game easily. He had that beautiful breakaway with the clanker off the pipe early in the game, and after that he was just looked like he was out for blood.
He almost had four of them then.
He did, yeah, and yeah. I mean he was itching. He was looking, but so number 11th Wild player, somebody sell their soul to make this happen.
11-11. What was the date though?
It wasn't the 11th, because that's today.
That's today.
No, that was... Yeah, that's today.
Did you not read our intro header? Being recorded on Sunday, October 11th?
I'm stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
So, but speaking of conspiracies, the latest from... What are they calling it? Dockgate? Doctorgate?
Dockgate 2015.
Bum, 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 bum.
It sounds like there's only Nino knocked his head on the boards. He missed a check on.
He missed a check, and it was kind of. It wasn't. I don't want to say it's ridiculous, but he. It was a whiff. It was a whiff of a whiff.
Yeah. He totally got sidestepped and went into the boards.
He went in hard.
He did head first. So went back to the locker room. This was late in the third, I believe. Middle of the third.
Second or third, yeah.
So he goes back and he's waiting and waiting and waiting, and no doc shows up. So exactly. So the latest news sounds like that there's only one doctor in the house that could assess head injuries. And apparently he was busy stitching up Landeskog.
So there's another doc there.
Yeah, okay, so...
Apparently?
Well, so I guess for our listeners that don't know, the home team is supposed to supply several or multiple doctors for both teams to use during the game.
And I think the Wilds say they provide three doctors, is what I had read.
That could very well be.
Right.
Teams can travel with their own doctors. But most of them elect not to until later in the season, and I guess it's not really a financial thing, but most of the team doctors have their own private practices, so it's not...
It's like a prestige thing, like, oh, I'm also the doctor for the Wild.
Yes. Well, exactly, you know, you got that hanging on your door in your office, and you can charge three times the amount.
Come get your plastic surgery done.
You need to get stitched up, I'm the best.
Actually, that would be a good... That's a good advertisement, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I replaced Tifuses.
Yeah, see, the dentist should be making the bank.
I think team dentists are different, though.
Team dentists are different.
They fly with the team. Because you always need dentists.
So Colorado's supposed to supply the doctors. I guess my question is, if multiple doctors are supposed to be there, you know, you'd think stitching somebody up would be something that just about any doctor could do. I mean, right. I can't nurses do that?
I think I could probably manage through stitching somebody up.
I mean, I've seen guys, actually, like, not hockey games, but, like, people I know that have literally busted out a suture kit and...
Under, over, right?
A few little stitches, and, you know, it doesn't look...
I think most of us took home ec at one point, right?
Yeah. It might not look the prettiest, it might scar a little bit more, but...
Oh, Lord, Gabriel Landeskog is not the most beautiful person in the world now.
No.
He's missing some teeth-its.
So, okay, so why was the only doctor that can assess and check on head injuries busy putting in stitches?
Well, you got to figure, at least personally, I'm not going to blame the doctor, because, like you said, the doctors, they have their own private practices. They're not going to jeopardize years of, you know, study and all of that in their private, and their actual moneymaker for not showing up to, you know, check Nino to make sure he doesn't have a concussion. That doesn't make any sense.
No, I wouldn't think so.
With that, though, I gotta wonder, you know, was someone head office with Avs, or, you know, was it
Wah?
Was it Wah that was going, hey, we don't need so many doctors around here, or you gotta take care of...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You gotta take care of Gabe there first.
Well, I think... Aaron, were you looking at Reddit when you showed me the one line? All the other doctors, like, he is the only one available to stitch up Landeskog because the other ones were dealing with the rest of the team choking.
That was a good one, actually.
So, meanwhile, Niederreiter sits
and waits.
Can't enter back into the game until he's checked out. And how long did he had to wait until...
Basically, by the time he came out, the game was done.
Just like that.
And wouldn't you know, he had a goal earlier in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's already stung him once. So why not try to work on keeping him out a little longer, you know?
Well, they tried doing that with Parisi. Actually, wasn't it Landeskog that...
Landeskog rung his bell.
Oh, he rocked him. I mean, laid him out.
Parisi just popped right back up and was like...
That was goal number two?
I think that was number two, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, we're going to go to town and, well, you can suck it.
Well, I think the instant karma on that was Landeskog laid him out and instantly turned to go chasing up ice. And you see him stop as soon as that pass goes back.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like, oh, whoops.
I totally misjudged this.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I immediately regret this decision. No, I mean, I got to say it was a pretty good game. You know, it was nice seeing, as it is always, good to see the Wild beat the Avs. It was good to see them win on the road.
To see that. Late third period push. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
This one was, you know, totally out of hand. I mean, you think being down 4-1, you know, this thing's pretty much over. But Wild had something different to say about that, you know.
I know me and Kenny were watching the game together, and, you know, down 3-0, it was like, oh, man, this is brutal. This is one of those games where, like, You're starting to give up hope because it's just...
not the way you wanted to start the season, no. Right?
They had to work out a few kinks.
I mean, Dubnyk didn't look very sharp at all.
The first two periods, he looked like he wasn't seeing the puck right. It was a lot of... It seemed like a lot of last-minute moves into position, like
right.
More so than usual for Dubnyk.
Yeah, but, you know, things kind of settled down a little bit.
D looked out of place in a lot of situations.
And, you know, and maybe that's because the D pairings are different. You know, Yo switched things around. He wants left and right and left on each line. And we haven't had that before.
That means we're looking for offense from our defense.
It is.
Because it puts them in a better position to score. And that's, you know...
Yeah, because Brodin's not going to be backhanding from the blue line.
Right. And that's the other thing, though, is you know, then it takes that much more time for the defense, you know, if they're pushing more for the offense to get back to our zone, you know. So
right.
And on a couple of those, I saw where, you know, the Colorado players were beating them deeper down there, and that's where the goals were generated from. So, you know.
I mean, we haven't had a defenseman score yet, but you know, the way
Suter got a few helpers,
but he had no goals yet for our D. But you got to figure the way that they're integrating right now.
Yeah,
it's only a matter of time. I mean,
only a matter of time. That's.
I feel like I saw Suter make so many pushes really deep in the zone, more so than he was making last year. Because last year, he would have a few every once in a while.
Yeah.
But it wasn't very common.
He usually plays pretty safe.
He plays very safe, yeah. Which is understandable. Yeah. But
you don't want to get beat, though. That's the thing.
But at the same point, you know, if you can bury it in there a little, because your team to, you know, refresh if they need to refresh, yeah. You know.
Keep the other team pinned down.
That's it, too. That
keeps them from getting their line changes in. So, yeah.
Well, so with that... you know, we had another game last night, and it was the Wild with the Blues. Obviously, the Wild toyed with the Blues. They gave Captain Kangaroo and his team...
Captain Kangaroo. Now that you mention it, he does kind of look like him.
You know, they gave his team hope that they could win it. But in the end, you know, the Dube abided and basically stonewalled the Blues to win their second of the season. You could call it an ugly win based on the fluky goals. But, you know, but let's be real. You know, good teams win with fluky, ugly games as well, right? You know? So, with that...
Yeah,
Dubnyk looked a lot better in game two than
much better
than he did in game one. I mean, he was stopping pucks, you know, with the exception of the flukish goal that he gave up against Tarasenko that kind of like squirted between his pad and
the littlest, tiniest spot.
I mean, right. Which is going to happen. I mean, it will happen, and it did. And with Tarasenko, you know, Tarasenko is Tarasenko. He's basically the Ovi of without the hits of the West, you know, where he'll just sit up there, park in the goalie's back spot on a power play or any play,
and bang him home,
and bang him home.
Yep.
And you know, that's exactly what the play was, and Dubnyk almost had it, but yep. He didn't quite. So with that, you know, he had a mediocre first game. A much better second game. On a scale of 1 to 10, how comfortable do you guys feel with Dubes as our number one starter for the season?
I like it. I think I like him. I think as long as we're not, you know, we're giving him, as long as he's getting some downtime. This week, obviously, I'm sure he's going to be starting against, what's the first run? Is it Phoenix or L.A.?
Phoenix
yeah. Or Arizona.
Sorry, yeah.
Get
it right.
I'm sure he'll be starting there with the days off that they have coming up right now. But they've got, you know, it's a pretty tough stint. So I'm guessing we'll see some.
We've got a back to back, so you got to figure we're going to see someone.
I'm guessing we'll probably see Kemper, maybe. Ooh. Friday.
I'm gonna actually.
I don't know. There might be a controversy there.
I'm gonna say we're gonna see Backstrom.
You think?
You know why? Because I think the Wild want to try to get rid of him.
Show him off a little bit.
Right. Yeah. He had Backstrom had a great preseason.
He did well.
You know, so if they can show that he's got a little something in him, you know, some of these teams that might be struggling out of the gates, they go, we need someone else just in case.
Yeah.
He might be easy pickings. You know.
Do you think they would be starting him against Arizona or against L.A.?
Arizona. Ooh, no, not Arizona. Ooh, that's a tough one.
Because, I mean, I'm guessing it's going to be one of the two.
Right, right. You got to figure it's not going to be. It's going to be Dubes against Arizona.
His former team.
So that's an easy pick.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Backstrom against LA. You know, I might be wrong.
I mean,
I might have totally like not be understanding the situation.
So okay, we kind of jumped around, but I guess going back with Dubes, as long as you know they're not having them doing all these back to backs. Obviously, mm-hmm. last year we're kind of in a bit of a pinch, and he was on a.
We needed wins, and we that
he was just on a killer hot streak, and right. It's like, you know, at that point, especially with you've got over half the season gone at that point,
right?
You know, you can still wear him out, but obviously, you know, it's not going to be 82 games wore out. You know, speaking of last year,
right?
This year, I mean, you know, if we can keep him in 40 to 50 games, and then sprinkle in some Kemper and some Backstrom.
If we can get good Dubnyk, I'm hoping for closer to 60-65 games, because that's where our number one goalie sits at. At 50, you're barely a number one.
That's just under 50-50 at that point.
It's just a little over. Depending, yeah.
I think you would be. So about 75% of the game, so keep them around 60.
But that means you got to do something with, you know, you got to figure Fletcher's holding on to Backstrom and Kemper for.
One of them's going to be trade bait.
One of them's going to move at some point in this year. You got to figure that's going to be what's happening.
Now, how about this for a question? Do you think they would try Backstrom out, and then with Kemper being on his last year contract, try putting him up for trade bait if he's a little bit better to try to get.
Kemper's far too young for them to want to get rid of him at this point right now. I just think, I mean, Backstrom also being, he's on his final year, correct? Of his.
Yep.
He would be.
So, I mean, he's a great rent-a-goalie for a team, you know, that just needs a little extra something there.
Or might need a backup, you know?
So, I definitely don't think that they're looking to deal Kemper anytime soon. My guess is that their long-term goal is to keep basically Dubes and Kemper and be solid in the goalie area and not have to think about that for a few years at least, you know?
But at the same point, you know, who's going to return more in a trade? Kemper or Backstrom? Backstrom's got a huge cap hit. Unless you're a cap-friendly team, he might not be a potential suitor for any other team.
He's also got quite a few more years on Kemper.
Right. But I think Kemper would be going to do UFA soon here.
I believe.
So they might actually have similar, you know, spots where one of them might be gone at the end of the year anyway. And at that point, would Kemper even be interested in re-signing with us? You know,
well, it depends what his lawyer or his agent says,
right?
Well, and especially if he's going into things knowing that he would not be the top goalie, if things continue the way they are with Dubnyk being the number one goalie and not getting the playing time, I mean. That goes to say a lot too.
All he's got to do is look at the writing on the wall with Harding. Harding played second fiddle and was willing to wait it out for when Backstrom was, you know, kind of done.
Yeah.
And injuries, his own foolishness, and his MS is now basically he's not a player anymore.
Yeah.
MS he couldn't control, but you know.
You're kicking a wall,
but at the same point, if he's playing a backup role, he's not going to get a starting role in any other team,
right?
Unless there's an injury, that's about the only way he's getting a good contract out for this year. So he might as well stick with the team that he knows if he's, you know, happy with his situation here.
True.
Well, you know, speaking of the Wild and where they sit with personnel, you know, this is now two games the Wild have had against very physical teams. In the third period in Thursday's game against the Avs, Waugh put in the goon Cody McLeod as the extra attacker on the 6-on-5 when they pulled Varlamov.
Does anything surprise you with Waugh anymore?
No, not really.
This is not the first time that he's pulled something or done something like this.
But but you'll admit, though, that whole game was very physical.
Oh, absolutely.
And especially that first period, the Wild were just getting out. They were just getting ground to the ground. And then the Blues, you know, of course, they, as our intro said, you know, they got Steve Ott, as well as that gargantuan rookie, Colton Pranko. 6'5", 200-odd pounds.
Big boy.
Just because you look like the Gimp doesn't mean you play like the Gimp.
He's a big boy. You know, he's going up against, like, Spurgeon. It's like, oh, man, this is not even fair. This is not even right here. But that actually really, you know, forces the question, can the Wild compete over an entire season without having any real kind of scrappy-type players, you know?
We did last year. I mean,
well, we had Brodziak and Prosser was there for
this a good portion true.
Of the season. Well,
but that's probably the reason for, you know, the pickup here at the
Porter?
End of the preseason of Porter. You know, I had a little bit of physicality at least.
He hasn't shown it yet, though.
Yeah, we haven't seen a lot of that yet.
I still think at this point Carter is like our most physical player, you know. You know, Carter got a little, you know, I don't even want to say scrap. It was like a scrum-ish. He wanted to fight someone, but it was like not really happening. So rather than giving, you know, 5 minutes for him and Fattenkirk.
does he still look hefty? Did they show much of? Did they show many close-ups of him?
And I'll be the first to admit I don't follow Fattenkirk very closely, but during his little we'll say scrap with Carter rips his helmet off, and it is a goose egg up on top, and it's like wow, he's like totally like losing all of his hair. He's going full Getzlaff, you know.
Oh no!
And it was kind of embarrassed. I felt embarrassed for him.
Hey, so speaking,
it's like somebody ripped off his toupee.
Exactly. It got stuck to the inside of his helmet.
Right. but back to my original point. Carter is about our only guy that's willing to like be that kind of scrappy guy. You know, we get it from other guys that are willing to be a little scrappier, like Zucker or, you know, Nino will be that kind of guy. But they're not fighting guys. They're not willing to really be, like, heavy checkers. So, I mean, do the Wild need that kind of player to be make a deep run in the playoffs or in this, you know, in this season here?
I think definitely as you head to the playoffs, you need players who are able to be physical. Now, to say you necessarily have to have the size to go along with that, I think that's another question. But I think really, as long as you got guys who are gutsy, it doesn't matter if they're 10 feet tall or 3 feet tall. When you got guys like Parisi, who are out there who will just dig and dig and dig. We've even seen it from some others, you know, such as like Coyle or Niederreiter. Or I mean, I think some of these guys, they're not afraid to, you know, get physical with the game. They're maybe not necessarily looking to be an enforcer.
Sure, I mean, sure.
So, if your question is, do we need an enforcer? I don't really think so.
I'm not really saying that because I don't think we need an enforcer.
You're not really going to see an enforcer much anymore.
No, you're not. Yeah. The days of John Scott and Derek Boogaard are gone.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think the Wild have, for the most part, a pretty gritty team of guys who are they're willing. Most of them are willing to dig and get physical if they have to.
I mean, well, okay. Look at Chicago the past few years. I mean, they don't really. I mean, they've got a lot of speed and skill guys. Or had. I mean, I guess their lineup has completely changed
right.
over the last season. They didn't really have a ton of like just big hitters though.
Brian Bickle.
One.
And I suppose that Oduya.
Well, okay.
I mean, I think you know, we don't have many big hitters. We don't have guys that'll go lay down. We got a lot of guys that'll get scrappy, kind of.
Right. Play with a little grit.
We have a little sandpaper in there,
yep.
But it's. I don't know. I mean, that first period in Colorado was really. I felt like the Wild were just getting ground.
This isn't the first time we've seen this, though.
No, it isn't.
I mean, look at all playoffs against St. Louis. We were getting beat down almost every game.
But the Wild also lost, like, one of their gritty players. And I hate to say it, but Brodziak was that kind of gritty guy.
Cook. Who happened to go to St. Louis.
Cook as well. Yeah. You know?
Did Cook get picked up by anybody yet?
No. I don't think so.
Still looking for a team, yeah.
Yeah, because he's one of those guys where if you're not, that's the thing is the NHL today, if you're not scoring or contributing to scoring, there's not much value in you anymore.
Right.
And the maybe it's just a matter of the league is changing, but you really need multidimensional players, guys that can score and then have like the dimension of physicality. Mm-hmm. Coyle. I don't think he's been really that physical,
He's got the size.
He's really got the makeup to be that physical guy, but he really doesn't do anything with it. Koivu can be physical, but doesn't score a whole lot, you know?
Yeah.
And he's not going to fight. I mean, I don't remember the last time, Koivu's fought, you know?
That's a good question. I got to look that up.
If it has, it was probably like years and years ago. It may have been it was probably a Swede that he fought anyway, if it did happen.
Well, and since you're mentioning, you know, physicalness and hits and all that, Dumba did announce that he's got something going on, Dumba Hits for Heroes, where he's going to be donating $100 for every single hit he throws, but while he's at the X, that's when he's going to donate it. The donations are going to a group called Defending the Blue Line, and basically this is a charity that it makes sure that children of members of the military services are able to participate in, you know, hockey if they choose to. So I think last night when against St. Louis at the X, I think he recorded one hit, so you know, there's $100, you know. I mean, to me, Dumba is, you know, more about his offense than always the tight checking and the defense. Not that he's not there, but I mean, he's got a nice shot. I'll just say that
for a D man, he's got a really good shot.
Yep. He's got a bomber of a shot.
But he's not afraid to throw down and get scrappy. No,
he's not that big of a guy.
No, he's probably about the same stature, I guess, as Spurgeon. But he's actually, both of them are actually really willing to, like, they're checking guys that are way bigger than them, you know?
And, yeah, Spurgeon going up against McLeod, I think, in Colorado, and I'm just going, oh, my Lord, what's going to happen next?
So, I'm wondering if you guys want to start a little side game here with me, aside from our normal game of the week that we always choose, and we'll just, you know, choose off the top of our head right here. We'll choose the total number of hits and the amount that's going to be donated through Dumba's Hits for Heroes at the X this year.
Well, I'm going to guess is next week he's going to score 0 hits at the X.
Let's see here. The Wild are away, away, and
away. Okay. Good choice, Aaron.
What's the over-under next week?
But we're not zero. Not week by week. Not week by week, though. I'm saying let's just go for the overall total season. See who's right at the end.
Okay. Now, my question is this going to count the outdoor game? It is a home game, but it's not at the X.
This is going to count whatever Dumba's hits for heroes are.
All right.
So if he's counting them when he's playing outdoors here in Minnesota, well, then we're going to count them. You got to talk about that with Mr. Dumba, though.
Here's my guess. 55.
55. Ooh, you're going with his old number.
Oh, yeah.
So $5,500 donated to...
Yeah, sure.
Defending the Blue Line. All right, we've got a $5,500. Do I hear...
$5,600. I'm going to say...
You say 2,400?
Let's see, 42 games at home, and then you figure you got. Let's be a little. The glass is half full right now,
all
right. And let's say three rounds of playoffs. So throw in an additional. Let's say we'll just say 10 games. So let's go 52 games. He's including
playoffs.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I'm
optimistic.
The glass is half full type of a night. I'm going to go with 6,600.
6,600.
Do we hear a 7,700 jive?
Well,
or are you going
to either need to go 77 or I need to go 44, right?
Right. Pick whatever you want.
Are you going to go Yager or Stewart?
I'm gonna go Yager.
Wow.
I'm gonna go with 77. I think that Dumba will put some hits out there and definitely I'm in the camp with Kenny here. I'm gonna be optimistic about the season. I'm pretty sure we're gonna see some playoff hockey at the X this year.
Yeah, I think so.
Not just one round, but two rounds, but maybe even three rounds.
I'm going to go three.
Three rounds, so.
I'm a little worried that we've all overbid because he had 42 hits and 58 games last year. So we've probably all like overshot our guesses.
But yeah, but you know what? Now he's got a reason to do it. It's for the kids.
He's doing it for the kids.
He's doing it for the kids.
And this will be his first full season as a Wild player.
This is also true.
So
now this is also barring no injury or illness.
True.
Or death in the family. Or
wow, you're back going really dark here.
Or Backstrom takes his spot.
Or he doesn't get the bubonic plague. Right. Doesn't get hit by a beer truck.
Are we going to have another mumps scenario this season?
Oh,
we
don't know. Let's hope not.
If the 35W bridge isn't collapsed again as he's driving across it.
Oh, man. That's a new one. I think it's okay on that one. However, they haven't replaced the 94 bridge.
He's driving across the 3rd Street Bridge.
That's dark.
We'll hope for the best, though. We want to see lots of money going to the Defending the Blue Line group, and we also want to see Dumba do well. So.
Jive, you just brought up a very valid point, though. So all the mumps struck last year after doing that West Coast stint. And this is what we have coming up right now.
Oh.
Do we have to worry about, you know, the CDC, like...
Bioterrorism.
What would be your call for Plague of the Year this year?
Plague of the Year. last year, was it measles or mumps?
I think it was mumps. I think everyone kind of agreed it was mumps.
It was mumps.
So this year it's measles, because that shot is like the what? The measles, mumps, and rubella?
I'm not betting on rubella right now.
The 3M?
I'm very...
Or MMR? Yeah. MMR?
I'm very bullish on rubella right now.
And this is not counting like your typical, the flu runs rampant for like a week.
Anthrax?
Right next to Slayer.
Right.
You hoping for a terrorist attack here? I'm gonna go with strep.
Strep.
Ooh, going yeah. viral.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, I got it. It's a close relative of measles, but I'm gonna go chicken pox.
Ooh, I like right. that.
Chicken pox. Plagues of the year, put it in the books.
Jive, what's your guess?
Measles.
Measles.
Oh. Measles, chicken pox, or ear infections? Is that what you said?
Strep, man.
Oh, strep. That's right. There we go.
I don't know.
I think they'll all get swimmer's ear.
I mean, okay, so
if, tennis elbow.
Tennis elbow.
Now, right. okay, chicken pox do get worse as you get older.
Oh, yeah. And that would keep you up for several games, actually.
It probably would. I mean, I find it funny because I remember getting chicken pox as a kid. And it's basically as my cousin got sick, it's like, all right, everybody meet over there so we can get all of you guys chicken pox at the same time.
Chicken pox party.
That's chicken pox party.
That said, I got to take my measles back. I'm not going to put measles on.
Oh.
I got to change my vote here. I'm going to go with mono. The kissing disease. It's going to be rampant.
Oh, all those hockey sluts kissing up all these little kids and uh-huh. Mono, huh?
All those hockey players raping these girls, and they got
no. That's just gonna
wow.
be that'll be
chlamydia. Jive is like
that's gonna be the clap going through
who
the
pooped in your Cheerios, man. Wow,
is Kane gonna be spreading the clap around the Chicago locker room?
Actually, speaking of pooping in Cheerios, there's a thread. Obviously, people complaining about you remember Mike Commodore? One of his last one of his last years in the NHL. He was going to the Red Wings, and people were trying to petition him to get number 64. So it'd be
Commodore 64.
Right.
I actually had a Commodore 64 player on the EA Sports NHL really? That I had made. Yeah. I thought it was cool.
So anyway, he apparently went on this Twitter rampage about Mike Babcock and how he's happy that Mike Babcock is losing in Toronto and about what a dirtbag he is.
Oh.
Because that last year in Detroit, that was his last like professional year.
Sure.
Basically, things fell apart. You know, he got hurt for a little bit, and then Babcock basically scratched him for like 20 of 30 games.
Ouch. And, a little bit of a resentment towards Babcock.
Well, but he said that, you know, he, before he signed his contract, he was like one of the people who signed on July 1st. Mm-hmm. He had a phone conversation with Babcock saying, do you actually want me? And will you play me? And Babcock's like, yes, I will.
He got played all right.
And that's the thing is Commodore said,
will you play me?
Commodore said that he had already been burned by Babcock once, and he was like, everything was telling him to say, no, don't sign this contract. And he still did.
Oh.
And so he went on this crazy profanity-laced Twitter tirade on Babcock. And if you can go look it up, it is awesome, actually. And there's like a whole, like, article about, you know, that interview that he did, like, I think when in Russia, about, you know, what a dirtbag Babcock is.
Have you seen any rebuttal from Babcock on this?
Oh, no. Babcock's silent because he's too concentrating on Toronto losing everything to start the season. You know, Babcock thinks he's going to go to Toronto and save Toronto. It's like, what the hell is he thinking? Toronto is, like, Phil.
Maybe, did he take an assistant job with the Blue Jays? Although they were getting beat last I heard. I think they're just about done, too.
Well, Babcock went to a sinking ship, and he thinks he's going to turn around. Good luck with him.
When's the last time Toronto had anything winning?
67? We'll go with that.
Oh, that works for me.
So we got some upcoming games this week, right?
We do.
Yeah.
That would be...
The Wild or...
Well, we kind of brought this up, but
at the Coyotes on Thursday, so they've got a few days off here.
Yeah, back to back here,
plenty of time for you guys to listen. Thanks for listening. All right. But then,
sounds sincere. I'm just reading off the script, and yeah, we'd like to thank you guys for listening.
It doesn't script that in here. That was
in Jai's fairness, it doesn't say thank you for listening.
That was totally ad-libbed.
The insincerity was ad-libbed.
Thanks for listening.
There we go.
We love you. We love you. We got upcoming games. Wild.
We got to figure out just. Yeah, everybody needs to see that video.
The Wild are at the Coyotes. Then we got the back-to-back. The next night they're against the Kings. Who Aaron's predicting Backstrom to be in net. Kenny thinks...
I actually didn't give an opinion on this. No. I was more curious what thoughts were, but...
So what do you think's going to be in
net? You know, I think I'm gonna tend to agree with Aaron on this, because, I mean, I think putting... putting Dubes against his former team, and then Backstrom against the Kings. I mean, I don't see much happening between either of those teams this year as far as like a deep playoff push or anything like that. So I mean, it could be a flip of the coin too. But I would predict to see Dubes against his former team with Backstrom against the Kings.
Well, I guess then I'll just have to go with Kemper so I can say...
Shut up!
Yeah, because I think Kemper will start.
Against what team?
Well, against the Kings.
Against the Kings?
Yeah, definitely. I think that we can all say that most likely that's the game that there'll be a swap and goal, if there is any. You know, the way it goes... Dubes might be in there still. Who knows?
Yeah, but with that game on Sunday.
But with the game on Sunday against the Ducks.
You got to figure someone's going to be. Those three games, he's not going to be starting all three of those.
Right.
Games.
No.
And going into the pond, we definitely
want to. You want your number one goalie.
Forward. Yeah.
Right.
So
with that, speaking of the pond, game of the week?
Certainly.
So, game of the week. As we've already talked about, is going to be Wild at the Ducks.
Quack, quack.
Last year's winner was Kenny. Quack. Here it comes.
Here it comes. Had to go there. We'll have to show everybody that one, too.
Well, you can find that one on your own.
We're going to need to get at least a sample of Here It Comes.
Can I check your ID before we send you this video?
So with that, last year's winner of the Game of the Week challenge was Kenny.
Woohoo!
He had just edged out Jive, and I was way back in last place. So with that, Game of the Week was picked by Kenny. Kenny picked Wild at the Ducks. As far as who's going to win, we start with Kenny. Who are you picking?
You know, Wild of... Always had a tough time beating the Ducks in Anaheim. I mean, they've had a tough time beating the Ducks here, to be quite honest. They've just had a tough time beating the Ducks, but especially at the pond. As much as it pains me, I'm going to have to go with the Ducks for the victory on this one. And I don't see this being a one-goal game. I see either a 4-2 or possibly even a 5-1. Yeah, nice. I'm going with 6 total goals.
Well, thanks for being optimistic, Kenny. this is the Wild's year, and I'm going with the Wild winning this one. I'm going to pick the same total goals as you, 6, because, I believe that it's not going to be a one-goal game. But I do think that the Wild will come out on top here. I'm guessing that it's going to come down late to the wire. It's going to be 3-2. The Wild will get an open netter late in the game to our 4-2 final. So,
you know,
definitely the Wild coming out.
All things
on
being
top
said,
of this thing.
I wouldn't mind being wrong on this one.
Either way, you win, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, I got to say, maybe I'm just been listening to Sirius too much, where they're talking about, you know, the who is the most likely champion from the West. And they're all saying Ducks, Ducks, Ducks. So I'm going to buy into it. And the Wild have had a tough time against the Ducks. Especially on the road. You know, I hate Corey Perry. Ryan Getzlaff's balding head. That
Saku's still playing?
No. But doesn't mean I don't hate him too. I'll throw him in there for good measure.
Hey, but can we hate them for taking our team, or was that just because it was filmed here?
You know, what I really think is the Wild need to embrace some Duck Hunt video clips when the ducks come to town. You know, and just have the laughing dog.
You know, right. we should all pull our dollars together. Watching the league and taco and dollars. and get some old NES games with the zappers to send on the plane while they're flying out to Anaheim.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, yeah. And we'll get them all registered.
We'll go duck hunting.
We'll get them all registered for the EBDB Prime account, right?
Anyway, I'm going to go with the Ducks winning. And it's going to be a close game. I'm going to go with 3-4 games. So I'm going 7 total goals. I want the Wild to win, but, you know, I'm going to buy into the Ducks hype for now. And we'll see, I guess.
You believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
I do. So I think we've got a show in the can, kind of.
A couple of games we talked about, you know. It's early in the season yet.
We'll go with that. Well, you know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild games for 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find me on Twitter at Aaron3ITB, where I tweet about, really, pinball. That's about it. So it might change from week to week, but, you know, hey, that's what I do. Kenny, what do you got?
Yeah, you can actually find me now on about.me/... Chaos, KAHOS 999. It's still in its infancy, but it does have my Twitter and my Instagram links on there. I find Instagram's a little bit more entertaining. You know, easier to follow somebody. It depends. To see, it's a visual thing.
Twitter is chaotic.
Yeah, it can be.
Chaotic.
So yeah, that should be getting updated and have more content on it here shortly. But for the time being, you know, you can at least find the Twitter and Instagram feeds on there.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And I'm Jive Midnight. If you didn't know it, you'd probably swear that I was on like some sort of a social media blackout or something. But you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Yeah. Anybody got anything else tonight?
Let's kill this thing.
Kill it?
Kill it.
Glitter style?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Here it comes.
Holla!
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
I'm stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
You can't do that!
Hey! Hey! Hockey fans are special.
It's the wrong week, Christmas Blue.
Nope.